Thanks, Chris. Our text for this evening is actually taken from Matthew, chapter 13. I asked Noel to read Isaiah 40, but our text is from Matthew, chapter 13. And it's a parable that Jesus told, and it's one of the shortest parables. Matthew 13 and verse 33. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. Let's just go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight as broken sinners. The thing that unites us is that all of us are made of the dust, and left to ourselves, we have no value, and we all return to the dust, and we would be under your judgment, but for your grace. Father, we pray that as your word goes forth tonight, you would encourage our hearts, that you would strengthen us, that you would speak to us through your Spirit, and that, Lord, we might leave this place more resolved and more able to live for you. Change us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'd like to look with you for a few minutes this evening at the 33rd verse of Matthew 13. I chose to focus on this verse because I think sometimes we can lose perspective. We are in a fallen world, and there's, you know, all the ISIS reports and all the evils going on in this world. And I think it's easy to become discouraged, to think everything's going downhill. But this verse says the kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. And I believe there's some encouragement in this short parable. While there are only a few words, I pray that God will speak to us, challenge us, strengthen us, and comfort us. And I hope to consider this verse with you this evening using these 5 points to guide our thoughts. The parable of the leaven examined, and we'll just look at what the parable means and what it doesn't mean. Secondly, the permeation of the leaven extended. Third, the power of the leaven exalted. And fourth, the progress of the leaven exposed. And then finally, fifth, the product of the leaven exhibited. Before we get to the actual parable, just a few thoughts about parables in general. Jesus often used parables in his teaching ministry, and he did so primarily for 2 reasons. First, he did so to teach deep spiritual truths with an easily understood earthly story. You may have heard the expression that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That is indeed the truth. Jesus used familiar, common items of that day, sheep, bread, coins, seed, etc., to teach deep spiritual truths. He used rich imagery that would not be easily forgotten to teach eternal truths. Think of these familiar words from Matthew 11:15. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Parables were used by Jesus to help those who had ears to hear to be able to hear what he had to say. But parables, secondly, were also used to keep some from hearing these spiritual truths. Look with me back a few verses in this same chapter, Matthew 13, back to verse 10. And we read there, then the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. So the purpose of parables is twofold: to allow those with spiritual ears to hear, and to keep those without spiritual ears from hearing. One other important fact about parables is that Jesus generally in a parable is teaching one main important point, one main truth. So it's vital to focus on that one main point and not become sidetracked by incidentals in the parable. I was talking to someone this week who's a student in the ministry, and he said, pastors love to pull everything out of parables, but we need to find the one main truth. And such is the case with the parable before us today as well. So we come to our first point, the parable of the leaven examined. Matthew 13:33, I'll just read it one more time. He told them another parable: the kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour till it was all leavened. When we first look at this parable and we encounter the word leaven, we may be reminded of the words of Jesus, watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees, in Matthew 16:6. Leaven is also mentioned in the first letter to the church of Corinth, where we have a record of the church boasting about the fact that there was extreme sexual immorality among them, and Paul warns them that they should not be boasting about such things, but rather mourning over such gross sin. And he says to them in 1 Corinthians 5:6, your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? What he is saying is, if sin is left unchecked, it will permeate the whole church. Why in the world are you boasting about this? It will mean your destruction. Now, the reason I bring these passages to your attention is that often in Scripture, leaven is used as a symbol of sin or sinful teaching. And there are those who would bring that same understanding of leaven to this parable. And the woman in the parable becomes an evil woman who is hiding sin in the flour with which she intends to corrupt the kingdom of God. But we need to see this parable in its context to find its true meaning. Jesus tells at least 7 parables in this one chapter alone. The parable immediately preceding this one is the parable of the mustard seed. Look at verses 31 and 32 of Matthew 13. He put another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. This parable is meant to convey the enormous growth of the kingdom of God from its seemingly small inception. And then Jesus follows the parable about the growth of the kingdom with this parable about the permeation of the kingdom. Not only will the kingdom of God grow to the size of the entire earth, but it will also permeate every society and every culture the way that leaven permeates flour. Clearly then, the leaven in this parable does not represent sin, but rather it represents the very kingdom of heaven. Remember, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. Now, leaven was a common household item in Jesus' day because the majority of families baked their own bread. And leaven, or yeast, is a necessary ingredient in bread. It is leaven that causes the bread to rise. The essentials of any bread dough are flour, water, and leaven. As soon as these ingredients are stirred together, enzymes in the leaven and the flour cause large starch molecules to break down into simple sugars. The leaven metabolizes these simple sugars and exudes a liquid that releases carbon dioxide and ethyl alcohol into existing air bubbles in the dough. If the dough has a strong and elastic gluten network, the carbon dioxide is held within the bubble and will begin to inflate it, just like someone blowing up bubble gum. As more and more tiny air cells fill with carbon dioxide, the dough rises and we're on the way to leavened bread. So leaven makes the bread to rise. Some time ago, my wife was putting the ingredients into our bread maker and she became distracted. Hard to see how she could become distracted in our home, and ended up forgetting to put in the yeast. After the bread had baked, she opened the bread maker to discover a very small and very hard loaf of bread. I believe that loaf was eventually fed to the cows. So the main point of this parable is the leaven and what the leaven does. We must not be sidetracked by the other details. The woman and the fact that she is hiding leaven into three measures of flour seem to be incidentals that surround the main focus of the parable, the leaven itself. So I would now like to consider what it is that leaven does. Our second point this evening is the permeation of the leaven extended. In order for the leaven to be effective in the loaf of bread, it must permeate the entire loaf. It will not do to have half of your loaf rise and the other half not rise. And so before the day of bread makers, the baker or homemaker would mix the ingredients thoroughly, albeit gently, and then knead the dough repeatedly. The leaven must influence every little bit of the dough. It seems to me that is the main point of Jesus telling this parable. As I mentioned earlier, the previous parable pointed out the enormous growth of the kingdom. This parable points out the permeation of the kingdom. So what does that mean? What does it mean that the kingdom of heaven must permeate the world like leaven permeates the dough? What exactly is the kingdom of heaven? Well, Scripture uses the phrases the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God interchangeably. And these phrases refer to the domain or the empire under the rule of King Jesus. Jesus said to the Pharisees in Luke 17, 20 and 21, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There,' for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you." The reign of King Jesus is not an outward, external reign. It is rather a reign in the hearts of his children. It is as hearts that were dead in sin are brought to new life by the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit through the gospel that the kingdom of heaven grows. It is as the good news of Jesus Christ goes forth into all the world that the kingdom of heaven grows. So when Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven with leaven, he is suggesting that the influence of the gospel must permeate every single aspect of our lives and every single aspect of the world. And so I wonder this evening, is the gospel of Jesus Christ permeating every aspect of your life? Is it permeating every aspect of my life? It is not enough to accept Jesus as our Savior and then live our lives as though he did not exist. It is not enough to give verbal assent to Jesus being King while we live as though self were King. Jesus desires his kingdom to permeate our lives. So I just came up with a few examples. Do you seek to submit to the rule of Jesus when you choose what to watch on television? Psalm 101 verse 3 says, "I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless." Do you seek to submit to the rule of Jesus when you decide what to do with your free time? Ephesians 5:15 and 16 says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Do you submit to the rule of Jesus in choosing what is the most important pursuit of your life? Luke 12, 15 to 21 says, "And he said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And he told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And do you seek to submit to the rule of Jesus in mending broken relationships? 1 John 4:20 and 21 says, if anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. There are so many areas of our lives that we need to have the permeation of the leaven of the kingdom extended into. The influence of the gospel needs to affect everything about us. Recently, there were those brought to my mind who seemed to follow the religion of Christianity faithfully on Sunday, but it has precious little effect on their lives throughout the week. God wants us to wear the same suit on Sunday that we wear through the week. And he wants us to wear the same suit through the week that we wear on Sunday. I'm not speaking of clothes, but of our hearts. God isn't content when we follow a certain list of rules. He desires and demands our hearts. This kingdom is a kingdom of the heart. That is where the leaven needs to permeate every corner of our heart. The leaven must also permeate the world. The final words of Jesus to his church before he ascended to heaven were these, go and make disciples of all nations. The gospel needs to permeate the remotest regions of earth so that the kingdom of Jesus Christ may extend to all the nations. And as disciples are taught, quote, to observe all that I have commanded you, the leaven will continue to spread even through society. The leaven of the kingdom of heaven needs to extend to politics and to business and to science and to the arts and to education and to healthcare and on and on and on. The permeation of the leaven of the kingdom of heaven, the permeation of the gospel needs to affect our every thought, our every word, our every action, and it needs to extend to the furthest corner of the globe. Thirdly, I'd like to consider with you the power of the leaven exalted. But often, we fail to see any change in the dough. If the three measures of flour in our parable represent the whole earth, we may at times get discouraged and think the leaven is not working. We see the rise of immorality. We see leaders of Western nations reject the Word of God and worship planet Earth instead. We see the President of the United States claim that climate change is the greatest threat to future generations. In a matter of just a few decades, we have seen marriage laws in this country and in many countries rewritten to include same-sex couples. Over 3 million babies have been aborted in Canada alone since 1970. There is a generation growing up in Canada that has hardly heard the name of Jesus, except perhaps in cursing and swearing. Islam is growing, and radical Islam is supporting terrorism around the world. We hear almost daily reports of either ISIS-sponsored terrorism or ISIS-copied terrorism. We hardly have time to process the news of one attack before another one has happened. According to one website, there have been 322 terrorist incidents in this world in this year alone, with thousands killed and thousands more injured. Consider just a few incidents from the 322 that were listed. On November 7, 2015, multiple bombs were set off across Baghdad, Iraq. The blast killed 9 and left 15 wounded. 3 men were also found shot dead. No one has claimed responsibility for the attacks, but ISIS is suspected. On November 12, 2015, an ISIS suicide bomber detonated a bike loaded with explosives in Beirut, Lebanon. And when onlookers gathered, another suicide bomber detonated himself on them, bringing the casualties to 43 dead and 240 wounded. On November 13, 2015, a series of coordinated attacks began over about 35 minutes at 6 locations in central Paris. The end result, 130 dead and another 368 injured. On November 17, 2015, a bombing took place in a farmer's market near a major road in Yola, Nigeria. Red Cross and National Emergency Management Agency have reported 32 dead and 80 wounded. No group has claimed responsibility, but Boko Haram is suspected. On November 27, 2015, a shooting and 5-hour standoff with police occurred at a Planned Parenthood clinic in Colorado Springs, Colorado. A police officer and 2 civilians were killed. And just this past week, on December 2nd, Saeed Rizwan Farouk and his wife Tashfeen Malik, a Muslim couple, stormed a county social services office in San Bernardino, California, killed 14 and wounded at least 21 others. When we look at this world, we may well wonder at times if the leaven is effective. The powers of sin and darkness seem to be gaining the upper hand in the world. But it is at times such as these that we need to take our eyes off the world. While our eyes of flesh may tell us the leaven is ineffective, we must, with the eyes of faith, look beyond to what the Word of God says. Our text tells us that the kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. This is the kingdom of heaven. The King of kings and Lord of lords is king over this kingdom, and none can stay his hand or say to him, what have you done? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as the dust on the scales. ISIS is not causing this king to panic. Planned Parenthood cannot stop his kingdom. The gay rights movement will not topple him from his throne. Isaiah says, do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when he blows on them and they wither and the tempest carries them off like stubble. You can imagine God blowing. The leaders of ISIS, the leaders of the world, thinking they're quite something, and God blowing, and they're blown away. The Apostle Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. The power operative in the leaven is none other than the power of God himself. Yes, in many ways we are to be the leaven, the gospel influence in this world. But the power of the leaven is not in us. If it were, we would have no hope. No, the power of the leaven is the very power of God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the Creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow faint or weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He is executing His sovereign plan exactly according to His timetable, and He has every single detail figured out. You may well grow weary in the battle, but He does not grow faint or weary, and He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might He increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Jesus says to us, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. There is a plan to leaven all the dough, and what Jesus sets out to do, He accomplishes. Take heart, weary Christian. The everlasting God is still on the throne, and it is His almighty, omnipotent power that is operative in the leaven. When the eyes of flesh fail you, with the eyes of faith, turn to the Word of God and see Him there on the throne and rest in Him. Fourth, let's look at the progress of the leaven exposed. The progress of the leaven exposed. When we consider all the facts about leaven, we realize that not only does it permeate the entire batch of dough, not only does it have great power, but it permeates the batch very slowly. Jesus could have likened the kingdom of heaven to dynamite or to lightning, something that shows incredible power suddenly, that comes with explosive force. But Jesus does not use these word pictures to describe the kingdom of heaven, but rather He uses leaven. Leaven that slowly, almost imperceptibly works its way through the entire batch of dough. I would suggest to you that that is generally how the kingdom of heaven moves forward. There have been times of great revival in the history of the church when thousands have been converted in a short time. But that is not generally the way the kingdom moves forward. Generally, the kingdom advances slowly, but steadily, almost unnoticed. It is the young man who, after many years of hearing the word preached, comes to a deeper and stronger commitment to his Lord. It is the quiet lady who shares the gospel in a soft and unimposing way with a broken stranger in the hospital. It is the older gentleman that refuses to retire from being a witness to the power of the gospel. It is the woman recently converted, strengthened by the power of the gospel, determined to love her unbelieving husband as the church ought to love the Lord Jesus. It is a donation given to a homeless man, along with words of hope about the one who came to save the lost. It is the Christian family divided by sin, now choosing to extend what they have received from Jesus, grace and forgiveness, to one another. It is words of encouragement spoken in love by a mature Christian to a young Christian who is struggling. It is time spent in prayer by the bedridden elderly woman for the young couple whose marriage seems to be crumbling. It is all of these and thousands of thousands more of seemingly little actions done in the name of Jesus day after day by His children around the globe that gradually advances His kingdom. There is no explosion in the dough when the yeast is added. Rather, there is a quiet, constant chemical reaction taking place that infuses the dough with little air bubbles that continue to expand. And bubble by bubble, the loaf becomes infused with air as a result of the leaven working within. That is how the bread rises. And generally, that is how the kingdom grows. It is unlike any other kingdom on earth. Kingdoms of the world conquer by force and violence. Think of ISIS and their reign of terror. But that is not how the kingdom of heaven advances. We need to remember that as Christians. Unbelief and evil cannot ultimately be conquered by the sword, but only by the sword of the Spirit, the Word. According to our government's revised plan, by the end of next March, 25,000 Syrian refugees will immigrate to Canada. Whether or not Canada should be taking in refugees is a matter for another day. But once they are here, the Church of Christ needs to influence their lives with the leaven of the Kingdom of Heaven. And to be that influence, we need to be in contact. Leaven does no good until it is brought into contact with the dough. And then little by little, bubble by bubble, the kingdom grows. As an aside, there is a place for the sword. There is a place for a strong military. Romans 13:4 makes that clear. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. But the church does not use that sword to advance the kingdom. So then, if leaven works slowly, is it wrong to earnestly desire and pray for wide-scale revival in our town, in our nation, in the world? Absolutely not. We read in 1 Timothy 2:4 that God desires all people to be saved. That should be our great longing desire as well. Jesus prayed in what is known as the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come," and he taught us to pray the same. We look back at the Reformation nearly 500 years ago, at the Great Awakening in the 1700s, the 1859 revival in Northern Ireland, and we long for such revival today. Indeed, there is a prayer meeting here each Thursday evening, pleading for revival. And God may answer that prayer through a large-scale revival. He may well bring revival even in the midst of great persecution, as God often does. But until that day, we need to be faithful in being the influencing leaven in the midst of the world. It does no good to pray for large-scale revival if we refuse to be the leaven in the place where God has put us from day to day. May God help us to be faithful in exerting a gospel influence in the seemingly small, mundane areas of our lives all the time. And may he help us to see the answers to prayer for revival all around us. The leaven is working. That is how the kingdom of heaven generally progresses, slowly, but steadily and surely forward. Consider the time when Jesus ascended into heaven. How many people were there on earth who loved the Lord Jesus? The 12 disciples, who were actually down to 11 at that point, maybe a few more who had followed Jesus, perhaps 100 or two. But think of how the kingdom has grown. According to the International Bulletin for Missionary Research, published earlier this year, there are over 2.4 billion people in the world who claim to be Christians. That is over one-third of the world's population, and it makes Christianity the largest religion in the world. Granted, some of these, and maybe many of these, are only nominal Christians, but nevertheless, think of the incredible progress that the leaven has made in 2,000 years. John MacArthur says it this way, "Never in the history of the world has Christianity had the global influence that it has today. It is staggering to think about it. Christianity begins with such obscurity, a handful of individuals, to the proportions that we know it today." End quote. The leaven is working. And lastly, I wish to consider with you briefly the product of the leaven exhibited. Although the text does not specifically tell us of the end product, we know there is an end product. Yeast is mixed into the flour so that a loaf of bread can be baked. And when the beeper on the bread maker signals that the loaf is done, you consider it a loaf of bread. Why do I say that? Because what were at one time separate ingredients have now blended together to form something altogether new and better. You are not eating flour and water and leaven, but Rather, you are enjoying bread. Leaven has done its work. There is a day coming when the bread will be finished. And it will be unlike anything we have known in this sin-cursed, fallen world. The kingdom of heaven will be ushered in perfection. There are glimpses given throughout Scripture of what the kingdom of heaven will look like in perfection, but all of them have been reduced so that our sin-stained, finite minds can to some degree grasp them. Scripture tells us what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined is what God has prepared for those who love Him. Perfect, unending fellowship with the triune God and with all those whose robes have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace, when He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day, that will be. As an aside, there are those who understand from this parable and the one preceding it, that as the gospel influence in the world expands, as the leaven does its work, things will get better and better in this world, and finally Christ will return to a world that is experiencing great peace. So the leaven comes to its ultimate fulfillment on this earth. That is, to some degree, the post-millennial view of eschatology. Without getting into the various views of the end times, I believe we can hold to the clear teaching of Jesus in this parable that the leaven will continue to permeate the furthest corners of the globe, and it will continue to work until all the dough is leavened, without holding to such a view of the end times. The leaven is working, the kingdom of God is growing, but the opposition to the kingdom of God is also growing. And so as Jesus said earlier in Matthew 13, let both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. One final thought. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven. But leaven is not the ultimate goal. And there is a sense in which even the kingdom of heaven is not the ultimate goal. The kingdom of heaven itself is serving a greater purpose. It is the purpose for which all the galaxies have been created. It is the purpose for which you and I have been created. And it is the ultimate reason why you and I have been redeemed. All things in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea are serving one great ultimate purpose. And that is the glory of the triune God for all eternity. In closing, the Apostle John gives us these words to reflect on from Revelation 5:13. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. May God continue his great work of advancing the kingdom of heaven in our hearts and through our lives, one bubble at a time, to the farthest corners of the earth for His supreme glory. Let's pray. Our dear God, we thank You that You are sovereign. You're on the throne. Lord, as we have read in Isaiah 40 of Your greatness and how all the nations before You are as but dust on the scales, and then to think, Lord, that You would set Your love upon the likes of us. Oh God, we thank You that our hope is not in us. Our hope is in You, the sovereign God of the universe. Strengthen our hearts as we reflect on who You are, even this night. Challenge us, Lord. We pray that You would change us for this week to come. May we live as lights and salt in a fallen world, in a dark world. May we be the leaven that You call us to be. Work through us, we pray, for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.